I want to talk to you. Actually, I'm not sure that that's the truth. I need to talk to you. This is a message that I have struggled with in my within my spirit because it can be a little bit offensive. And I pray that as I deliver this message today, that I'm not going to pray that you're not offended, but I'm going to pray that if you are offended, you might look and consider why it is that you're offended. The Word of God is offensive at times. If you have your Bibles, turn in them to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 21 and following. And in this passage, this is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is preaching. And he begins to unfold some theological upgrades, or rather some theological clarifications. Basically, he's saying, okay, you know that the law has said these things, but it's not so black and white. I need to clarify exactly what I meant when I gave the law. Jesus is basically saying this because he's God. And he says, you know, you're not understanding. You're taking it for literally what's written, and you need to know something about that. And so he goes in with verse, I'm just going to break it up into segments. I'm going to look at 21 and 22. And he says, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fires of hell. Now, I want to take a look at this passage, and I've preached this passage before, and you've probably heard this preached before from the standpoint of we need to not be have bitterness in our heart towards somebody else. We need to not have those, you know what I'm saying? God says don't commit murder, but even if you feel it in your heart, then that's a sin. And so I've preached about that before. You don't even have the hatred in your heart to begin with. Get rid of that. Well, I'm going to look at it today from the reverse angle. What if someone has an offense against you? What if you are on the receiving end of an offense? Raca. How many of you know what raca means? Raca. It's an Aramaic term for bitter contempt. And it really, it means like a worthless person. Very literally, it means, if you say raca, it means you empty-headed fool. Empty-headed fool. Raca. He says, that statement, even saying that, is almost, it's akin to committing murder. It's just the same. And that's new to these folks because they live by the letter of the law. And as long as they didn't physically kill somebody, they were free to do whatever and say and slander and all that stuff. And Jesus saying, no, 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 no. All that stuff is the same as killing someone. I want to clarify a little bit here at the end of this passage. It says, you will be in danger of the fires of hell. Jerusalem is surrounded. It's kind of on a little hill. It's a city on a hill. It's kind of surrounded by these valleys. On the eastern side is the Kidron Valley, right across the valley, which, you know, when I think of valley, I'm thinking of like Montana skies and the valleys, and, you know, you can't even see across the valley. It's big. This Kidron Valley is probably, I don't know, I'm going to say maybe a quarter mile across, if my memory serves me right. And it's basically a big old ditch. A big old ditch. That's on the eastern side. Across the ditch is the Mount of Olives. Right on the side of the Mount of Olives is the Garden of Gethsemane. It's very close in proximity. on the southern side of the city is another valley that runs into the Kidron Valley. And we were there, and the guy was saying that valley is called Gehenna. And I said, what does Gehenna mean? He says, hell. That's hell. That's Gehenna means hell. And that was called that valley is called hell. It is also said, that's where Judas, after he betrayed Jesus Christ, that he went and hung himself, he went to hell and hung himself, okay, in the valley of Gehenna. This valley, it used to be a place of human sacrifice. But when that practice was abandoned, it became the city dump. It became the city dump. Everybody would take the trash out there. And it's also said that the fires in Gehenna, the dump, the fires of hell, never went out. It was always this smoldering, stench, decaying area. The smoke was always, the fires never went out. And so they had a very visual illustration, a very visual symbol of what hell would be like. This burning stench, nastiness. How many of you ever been to a dump where they're burning stuff? Okay. When I was growing up, we used to load all our trash in a 55-gallon drum that Dad had chiseled the top out of. And we had like three of them. We'd burn all our stuff there. And then when they got all the debris and ashes got too much, we'd load them up in the back of the truck. We'd take them out to the city dump, and we'd dump them out there. And it smelled horrible. It smelled horrible. There was always, they had an incinerator out there, and they were always reburning all the stuff. And you know, you had, back before the EPA and all that, you had rubber smoke, and you had wood and plastic, and all this stuff was being burned, and it was a nasty place. And I can imagine that's what this, now, they didn't have rubber and plastic and all that kind of stuff, but whatever garbage you had, whatever leftovers, there was, you know, the unusable parts of animals, and that was thrown down there, diseased animals thrown down there, lit on fire, and they had a very visual symbol of what hell must be like. What I need to tell you today is that we live in a world, when we talk about being offended, we live in a world of perpetual offense. People are always offended by someone or something, right? And one of the reasons it's so hard to stay happy is because it's so easy to get offended. And everyone thinks they have the right to not be offended. And if somebody offends me, then I'm offended, and I have every right to be angry and mad about that, right? I mean, it's so much that the stores now, they have to have like five different bathrooms. You have to have a men's bathroom, and you have to have a women's bathroom. That used to be good enough. That used to suffice. But now you have to have a men's restroom, a women's restroom, a restroom for the men who feel like women, a restroom for the women who feel like men, and probably one for people that just aren't sure what they are. They do that so that nobody will be offended. Everyone can go to the restroom wherever they feel like they need to be and nobody's offended. And they may have another one for everybody else that doesn't fit into that. I don't know. But I read in the news that Target is starting to build individual restrooms instead of having a large restroom. You know, they were under the fire for all this restroom business to begin with. But I'm not preaching against Target. I'm just saying that the way we operate now, you can't say certain things that we used to be able to say because somebody's going to get offended by it. People are offended so easily these days. And it's because we feel like we have a right to not be offended. Well, the Word of God is offensive. It's offensive to those who are perishing, but it's also can be offensive to those who need correction. So, please take that and keep that in mind as I proceed from here. Here's the whole thing in a nutshell. There's the great cosmic battle is this. God gives good gifts, right? Scripture says that every good gift comes down from the Father of heavenly lights. And then you have this cosmic battle. You have Satan, and his agenda is destruction. The Bible says that he comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. So his agenda is destruction. His strategy is division. Okay? The agenda is destruction. The strategy is division. And his tactic is offense. His tactic is offense. That's where it starts. It starts something real small. Little bitty zing in your spirit. Little bitty zing in your heart. And you go, And then you start conjuring up all these things that person probably really meant and what was behind all that. And when somebody just says, wow, I like your hair. And you walk away going, well, what was wrong with my hair to begin with? She didn't like my color to begin with. It was too long. It was too short. It was too curly. And she didn't like it. I don't like her hair. As a matter of fact, I don't like her husband's hair and her whole kids and her family. Come on. It gets that way. Our mind just runs. And it all began with a little offense. The closer the relationship, the greater the opportunity. Right? I mean, it goes both ways. It can lead to greater intimacy. It can also lead to a greater hurt, a greater offense. And nobody can hurt you as bad as someone you've really given your heart to. You know that? If a stranger walks up and calls me big old fat ugly bald guy, I just like, part of that's true. But anyway, whatever. If I wake up one morning, my wife says, "Honey, you're kind of fat. You're bald and you're ugly." Well, that's going to hurt. That's going to hurt. The closer the relationship, the greater the offense can be sometimes. In verse 23 and 24, we read this. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift here in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them and then come and offer your gift. You see, the Lord says relationships are important. What you're doing here at the altar is important. Okay, but you need to come to the altar the right way. And so if there needs to be some cleaning up, you need to go clean stuff up and then come back. He didn't say, forget coming to the altar, just go clean stuff up. He said, go get it fixed and then come back. I want you here, but I want you here right. Go get it taken care of and then come back. And we read next in 25 and 26, it says, settle matters. What does it say? Quickly. With your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I say to you, you will not get out until you've paid the last penny. Now, how are you going to pay a debt when you're in prison and can't work? If you don't settle matters quickly and deal with the small things, it can get out of hand really, really fast. Has that ever happened to anybody? When you let something go and it didn't get handled, and then it builds and builds and builds, and before long, it all started with Raka. You empty-headed fool. It's those little offenses stacked one on top of the other that are never resolved that lead mom and dad to sitting down in front of an attorney dividing up their assets. They call it irreconcilable differences, but listen to me here right now. What now has become a big problem that is sometimes unresolvable, could have been dealt with early on. And that's where I'm going to go today. I need to have an illustration I need to show you. And I'm going to ask for my son Zachary and his bride Leandra to come up and help me with this illustration. Let me say before I even start, I'm going to say some things and give some examples. This is no way a reflection upon their personal relationship with each other. Okay? They have probably never made these statements. Y'all come on up here. They've probably never made these statements to each other. I'm just using them for an example, okay? I'm not, please hear that. I want y'all to switch sides. Yep, they switch sides. We have, no, I want you to stand right here. We did not rehearse this, by the way. So here's what happens. We have an offense. And the offense is, and it doesn't start out to be offensive, but Zachary is at our house, and he's sitting there, and Rebecca has made chicken and dumplings. And Zachary doesn't really like chicken and dumplings, but anyway, he's sitting there, and he says, Mom, these are the best chicken and dumplings I've ever had in my entire life. And she takes that offense because she's thinking in her heart, didn't I make chicken and dumplings for you just last week? Okay? He did not mean it as an offense, but she took it as an offense. And she takes this offense and she stacks it up and she drives it in the ground. And says, I am offended by that. I'm going to let that stand right there because it offended me. Leandra. And again, this is not, I've made all this stuff up. This is not really their life, but I'm just using them for an example. She's sitting here one day, and she's tired. She's come home from work, and she noticed that the trash is still full. So she simply says to Zachary, "My dad knows to take the trash out when it's full." And Zachary takes it, and he's offended by that, okay? He says, "That's an offense to me, and it hurt me. It hurt me." Now, this one, folks, is really not true, according to them, okay? Let me state that. Leandra says, "Does this dress make me look fat?" And Zachary says, "Baby, it's not the dress that makes you look fat." And she takes that and says, "Oh, I'm going to stack that one up because that really hurt. That was mean. That was hurtful." Again, let me reinstate. This is not their life, not their story. Leandra's not fat. I'm just saying. So in response to that, Leandra comes back and she says, "Well, you know what? I love you, but your body used to not sag like that. What happened to you?"
Okay.
Stacking these offenses up, right? And then Zachary is offended because he's like, "Well, she doesn't like my body now. And I don't know why, because all I did was say it wasn't her dress." And so Zachary says, "Is that a new wrinkle around your eye?" And so Leandra takes that and stacks it up. Leandra. Zachary's proud of a job that he just did, and he's showing it off to her. And she says, "Huh, I just was expecting something a little better. It's okay, but it's just not what I was expecting. I thought you would do better to that." Zachary. And this one may be true. It's as simple as this. "You didn't respond to my text." What does that mean? Are you mad at me? Are you angry with me? And so Leandra gets offended because she was busy doing work. She couldn't respond to the text.
That one is true.
Leandra looks at Zachary, and they're about to go out on a little date to the dinner place. Where do y'all like to eat?
El Burrito,
okay. They're going out to go to, they're going to come over to El Burrito, and they're getting ready to go outside, and Leandra says, "Are you really going to wear that out in public?" Is that one true?
Well, yes, I am.
I am now, for sure, right? Here's one that I've run across. I've seen exemplified. This is not necessarily particular to their relationship, but sometimes people get offended, and they say, "You know what? I missed church for 3 weeks in a row, and nobody called. Nobody texted me. Nobody checked on me. And so now that person is offended by that." One more. Two friends are out at the park and something goes on. And Leandra says, and this cannot be true because they don't have children. But Leandra says, "Well, my kids would never have acted that way. My kids would not have done what your kids just did." That offense to that person is taken and stacked in the ground, driven in the ground. And what ends up happening is offense after an offense after an offense has built a fence. And in a marriage relationship, you often have this going on. After all these offenses are built, and you have one saying, "But why come you never take me to El Burrito anymore? We don't want it to go. We don't have this intimate relationship anymore. And Zachary says, but why would I do that? Because there's all this stuff between us and it's not resolved. It wouldn't be a good time anyway. You see, all these offenses stacked up on top of another builds a fence. And the question is not whether an offense will come. The question is, what are you going to do with it when they do? Offenses will come at us. What do we do with them when they come? And if only we had an example of somebody who had every right to be offended, who had had every offense thrown at him and took it and gave no offense back. If only we had an example of that. Jesus did that for us. Jesus did that for you. Every time we sin, it's a sin against Him. It's a sin against the work that He did at the cross. And listen, we have to learn to drop things. We have to learn that when that offense comes, we just drop it. Say, I'm not gonna take that offense. I'm not gonna be offended by that. And then we can take this offense that's been handed to us. We can't control the offense that comes at us. You control what you do with the offense. And the proper way to do that, according to Scripture, is to drop it. Drop it. You take this offense. This offense about the dress or whatever it is. And you say, you know what? That's the way he does. He doesn't think about stuff. So you just drop it. You take this offense and you say, you know what? Maybe the reason why nobody missed me at church is because I'm not involved and I don't. I know my chicken and openers are good. And he was just being nice to his mama because mine are really better than hers. Let me drop it. Right? Baby, the older I get, the more things are just going to sag. Just deal with it. That's the way it is. Boom. Right? And so one after another, we have to learn to drop it. We have to learn to drop it. We have to tear down these fences and drop the offense. Not be offended. Remember, an offense is an event. Being offended is a choice. Thank you. Thank you very much. Didn't they do good? You cannot control what gets handed to you, but you can control what you choose to do with it. You can stand it up or you can drop it. An offense is an event. This is so good, I'm going to say it again. An offense is an event. Being offended is a decision we make. It's a choice. God's forgiveness and His mercy doesn't just flow to us. It's supposed to flow through us. We are supposed to be a conduit to allow God's grace and His mercy and His forgiveness to flow to us and through us to other people. We are to be a forgiving people. We're not to return the offense with, "You empty-headed fool." That's what God intended for us to do, to be a forgiving, a loving people. And that's what He desires for you. My question is, do you desire what God desires for you? You know what God wants for you. Do you want that for you? Do you want to be a person that holds on to that grudge because it gives you some power and some strength and something to stew overnight because you just need that? Or can you become a person that drops it? Remember, an offense is an event. What you do with it is your decision. You can take it and be offended. You can take it and say, well, that's just, I don't know what that was, but I know that person better than that. They didn't mean what I think they meant, so I'm just going to drop it. Or, you know what, I don't need people in my life like that. I don't need that kind of stuff in my life, so I'm just going to go in a different direction with somebody else. It's a choice we make. It's a choice we make. Jesus Christ had every offense that was not a legitimate offense. He was accused. He was beaten. He was spat upon. He was tortured. He was hung on a cross. He was murdered because he was innocent. And he took all that offense upon himself when it was really due to you and me. And he says, I'm going to do this because I love my people. If he could do that for you, can't we do that for other people? That's what God's called us to do, folks. Don't return an offense with another offense. You'll only build a fence. And God has designed us to be a fenceless people. Fenceless people. Roaming like the buffalo used to before the ranchers started putting up barbed wire. Some of y'all remember that. It'll come to you on the way home. But that's not the way God designed us. He designed us to not have barriers, to not have obstructions. He didn't come just for the Jews. He started tearing that barrier down. He said, I've come for all people. And guess what? If you're not a Jew here today, that is good news for you because Jesus Christ came for you too. Amen. And he did it by dropping the offenses. What is your response? Next time you have an offense brought against you, think to yourself, okay, now wait a minute, I have a choice here. I can either be offended or I can just take it for what it was, move past it, get on. Either go back to that person and say, help me clarify something because this is what I thought you said and I don't know if you really meant it that way. Can you clarify that with me? And if that person says, you know, that's exactly what I meant, then you have another choice. You can say, okay, well, then you empty-headed fool. Or you can say, okay, I don't need that kind of business in my relationships, so I'm going to spend some time with somebody else. Okay? Or quite possibly they may come up to you and you say, what did you mean by that? And they say, well, this is what I meant. And you go, oh, well, okay, that's not the way I took it. And they go, oh my goodness, how could you ever take that on our relationship? What we've been through. No, I would never say that to you. And you know in your heart that was true. But it was just that moment, right? Because the kids were crying and the house wasn't clean and the yard wasn't mowed and my wife was upset with me of this and I took it. Come on, your emotions mess with you, right? It's that spirit of division. That's what the devil uses, that whatever he can do to divide. And let me tell you something. God is not a God of division. He is a God of unity. No fences. No fences. Keep that in mind. I would say if you're ever offered an offense again, but you know it's coming somewhere sometime. So next time you have an opportunity to be offended, ask yourself, what am I going to do? Am I going to stand it up or am I going to drop it? Am I going to stand it up or am I going to drop it? How many of you are thankful for what Jesus Christ did for us? Amen. And in case you're not clear on what he did for us, the scripture says that every offense offered against either mankind or against God is all against God. And it's all punishable by death. It's punishable by eternal separation from God the Father. The fires of Gehenna is where we're all doomed for. The Word of God says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not even one. That's you and me. We've all sinned. No matter whether it was killing somebody or stealing something or telling a little white lie or just kind of spreading a rumor about somebody else or taking a pencil off the bank counter that, I mean, they mean those to be people to take those, right? Okay. What about from your office place? That eraser, that paper clip that you needed? That's property of your job, okay? Well, guess what? That's stealing. You know what God says about that? It's punishable by death. There's no way we could make it on our own. And God knew that. So he sent his very son, a perfect, perfect man, to live and to die on this earth in perfection as a perfect sacrifice. You see, we couldn't even bring enough sacrifice to atone for our sins. Only a perfect sacrifice could be everlasting. So God himself sent his very son, the second person of the Trinity, to be our sacrifice. And that's what happened at the cross. And he did that for you and for me. But thank God he didn't stay there. 3 days later, after they buried him in the tomb, he rose from the dead, showing that he could conquer death, he could conquer hell, he could conquer sin. He's the eternal victory. And he offers that to you and to me, but only to those who receive him as their Lord and Savior. What does that mean, Brother Mike? That means you say, you know what, I'm going to be a Christ follower all the rest of my days. And I'm going to live my life the way that he wants me to. I'm going to look to him for instruction. And I'm going to worship and honor him with my lifestyle. That's what it means to be a Christian. It doesn't mean just checking a box on the paper, getting dunked in the water, and then going on with your happy, merry life the way you've always done it. No, there must be a change. There must be a change. If you're ready to make that change today, I would love to talk to you. We're about to have a time of invitation. I'm going to be standing here. My wife will be standing here. One of our deacons, I'm not sure which one, will be up here. And if his wife is here, they'll be here too also. We're here to pray with you, to offer ourselves to pray with you, to minister to you. The altar is open. You can come and go straight to the altar. If you're here today and you say, you know what, I did that when I checked that box and I got dunked when I was 8 years old, but you know what, my life really didn't change much, and I am not sure that the life I'm living now is one that honors God in everything I do, and you want to change that today, today's a great day to refresh, to start, make that commitment afresh and anew today. And it's quite possible that this body, this church, that you feel comfortable here, that you like these people and you want to officially join this membership in this body. And you have that opportunity today too. You can come forward and we get to talk to you a little bit, fill out some paperwork, and we can allow you to be a member of Dolan Baptist Church, and you can be an official member here. There's lots of decisions you can make. They're all your decisions. You see, God's not forcing himself upon you, but he's giving you an opportunity to decide for yourself. And I pray that you really think about that. And if you need to make a decision, that you make that now. Would you stand with me? Father in heaven, we love you. And Lord, we thank you for who you are and for what you've done. And Lord, we thank you for the great example that you've given us. That you've taken every offense offered against you and you dropped it. And Lord, help us to be the kind of people that are willing to drop offenses against us. And to not be offensive in a purposeful manner towards others. Unless we're speaking the truth of the word of the Lord, Father, let us be offensive in that, but not in hatred, but in love. So, Father, I pray that this message today was received in that spirit. And I pray, Lord, that if someone needs to make a decision today, that they would honor you by doing that here in this place. Lord, help us now as we have this time of invitation. Help us to get real and right with you. Just like we read in Scripture, if you have something against your brother or if your brother has something against you, go handle it. Get it cleaned up and then come to the altar. Lord, help us to be that kind of people in Jesus' name. Amen.